Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
For the record-setting seventh time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are Super Bowl 55 champions, led by Tom Brady. Absolutely a player for the ages.
Hey, this is Darren McFadden. You're listening to the Morning Rush.
Live from the Busch Light Studios. Bush.
You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station. Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
There's a lot of lions, tigers, and bears, but they even one Razorback. Number one.
This is the Morning Rush.
Borderline erotic.
With Ty Richardson.
I'm Ty.
That's cool. I can dig it.
And Tommy Kraft.
Do I look happy?
What's wrong?
Lloyd!
The Morning Rush starts right now.
So I usually come with some pep in my step on a Monday morning, really any morning for that matter, especially the first segment, but I'm just going to be completely upfront and honest. I am exhausted. I am very tired.
Late?
I went to bed about 9:45 last night. I did not stay up too late, but I ate my weight in food yesterday. And we had our football game yesterday.
I forgot. I was supposed to ref that one.
You missed it.
It's too cold anyway.
It's quite fun yesterday. So we got Super Bowl to talk about. That's going to take up a lot of our time this morning. With Tom Brady, I know a lot of you Kansas City Chiefs fans listening to the program. He has moved to front and center of public enemy number one. I want to talk about the athlete, current or past, that you despise the most in college or professionally. I want to talk about it. This is the most unproductive day of the year when you look at workforces across the United States. And I have a buddy who got a chance to meet Madison Pruitt this weekend. And that story, I think a lot of you are going to enjoy a little later on. And then we will also talk about the football game that my buddies and I participated in yesterday.
Yeah. So hot take Monday. You want me to start here? You want me to pick a topic first?
Either or.
Or do I need to just carry you? Am I going to have to carry you today? Is that where we're at?
I'm telling you.
Am I going to have to pick you up and put you on my shoulders again today?
I am exhausted this morning.
You went to bed at 9:45.
I know. And I just ate. We played the football game yesterday. I ate extreme copious amounts of food, I guess.
I thought he was built different.
I'm just tired this morning. I'm just being honest.
We're getting on a year here and like, you did the Missouri game and everything.
All right, come on, SmackDown. We're going to carry you through today. All right, Hot Take Monday brought to you by Wills RV. They got RV show pricing right now at Wills. You can skip the lines at all the RV shows and go right to Wills and get the best deals on all the premier brands and a lifetime warranty on everything they sell on brand new RVs. Plus, they have RV storage, mobile service shuttle. Owning a new RV from Wheels has never been easier. RV show pricing right now at Wheels RV, 5 miles west of exit 72, off I-49 in Springdale. Seek, explore, and discover with Wheels RV.
By the way, today is the one-year anniversary of when Tommy Kraft made the best work decision of his entire life and put me in this slot, if you remember that. Now, Jenkins, was it a couple weeks later that you
17th.
Came on board? Okay, I didn't think it, because I think I had to do double duty for a couple weeks, if I remember that correctly. So, yeah, that's just it.
Literally, my electrolytes were off.
I guess. So, all right, where are we going?
That's why he feels like this morning. It's his day off.
It's his day off, yeah. We're starting with the Super Bowl. I mean, we were all hoping, you know, we've been treated to some pretty decent Super Bowls for the most part recently. This obviously was not one of them as far as the competitive nature of the game.
What did it?
31-9.
What Super Bowl did it remind you of?
And most of them in my childhood, were blowouts. Any of them involving the Bills, you know, well, not all. That's not totally true because they had the wide right game. But, a lot of the 90s Super Bowls, a lot of those games where the NFC just kick the side of the head of the AFC. So this was not a game, and that's what it really reminded you of, some of those 90 Super Bowls. This was a game where, for whatever reason, and I know there's some Chiefs fans upset about the first half officiating, but the bottom line is the offensive line could not protect Patrick Mahomes, and that was pretty obvious in that first half where he was running for his life, and they didn't play very well at all. And the second half adjustments just weren't very good for the Chiefs.
The Super Bowl that it reminded me of, this is one of the more recent ones, was Peyton Manning's Denver Broncos against Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks, mm-hmm. and the Seahawks just decimated them. You had a Percy Harvin kick return for a touchdown, and that game was just a blowout. This game, and I was trying, like, talking with Chiefs fans, a lot of Chiefs fans that I spoke to prior to the game were supremely confident in their team's ability to get the win on Sunday. And what I mentioned, this is something that Clay has to nail into my head every single time that we talk about football, is the trench play. And when you lose an all-pro left tackle like Eric Fisher, you don't have Schwartz. I know Kilgore is just the backup center, but your offensive line is a key pivotal part of that Kansas City offense that isn't talked about enough. And I know that you still have Tyreek Hill, still have Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins, the list goes on and on. But Mahomes was rushed over and over again, 29 pressures, most in NFL Super Bowl history. Heard that tidbit on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubit this morning. I mean, and that's what I said. And that's what scared me about my Kansas City Chiefs pickers on Friday, is because I thought Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul, Lamonte David, Devin White would get after him. It's exactly what they did, but I thought Patrick would have enough to do it over the top. Just wasn't able to.
JT from Hot Springs with a text in this morning, exactly how I wanted to put it. Kansas City got punched in the mouth, and they didn't know how to respond. They had no answer. There was no adjustments they could make on that front line.
They couldn't block. I mean, they just legitimately couldn't block.
And there was enough speed and enough pursuit angle for Tampa Bay to just flush Mahomes. How many times did he run backwards looking for some kind of escape hatch that he was going to reverse field, and he just kept running backwards, gets out side of the tackle box, and just throws it away. And was lucky to throw it away. What, that three or four times in the ball game that happened? Just a wasted play and lucky to not be a 20-yard loss. So that happened repeatedly throughout the night where he was running for his life.
Probably had a couple. Did he just have one interception? Because there probably was a couple.
The one there at the end of the in the end zone, which if you had 1-9 on the board and you got that at the end of the third quarter, you were a happy camper, because I thought the Chiefs were going to go down and score at the end, get a garbage touchdown, and probably spoil that if you had 1-9 on your Super Bowl squares. And that interception preserved somebody double dipping on their boards.
Did you do that yesterday?
Do what?
Because the Super Bowl, I was at a place that had the squares. Yeah. I didn't participate because
I was on a board. I didn't win anything. But if you had 1-9 on the right, the right side of it, you won the third quarter and the final score.
And there's some people this morning that are coming out at this hot, and I know it's a hot take Monday, but there's some people coming out this morning saying, oh my gosh, that diminished the crap out of Patrick Mahomes' legacy. Listen, guys in the past have had bad Super Bowls, i.e. the quarterback that he's faced and Tom Brady, see the New York Giants games that he played in. He didn't have great Super Bowls there.
Brady hadn't won every Super Bowl he played in.
He's lost three. So I think when you look at this particular game, it's one of those things where this helps Tom Brady and now Patrick Mahomes. Here's what I do wonder, though. If Tom Brady does not get back to another Super Bowl and Mahomes is still trying to catch him, now he has to get to 7 to even be in the conversation with him.
That was a great point made after the game. Yeah, can you even get there?
But can you get there? But here's the thing, Tommy. If Brady doesn't make it back, the lasting legacy in everyone's mind that people have of you when it comes to making the comparison is you getting your tail kicked by Tom Brady. That's a tough uphill battle to climb if you're trying to vie to be the greatest quarterback of all time. Mahomes got a long way to go. Just something to think about in the upcoming years.
Unless you play again in Super Bowl 56.
That could very well happen.
And if you think Tom Brady is too old, too washed up, can't do it again, Well, I can't agree with you, because I think even at 44 or 45 years old, dude could win it again. I don't think just at 10, being in 10 or winning 7, can't convince me he's done.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I really enjoy Kevin Harlan, whether he's calling football, basketball. He's just really talented, and this might be what he's best at.
5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
So Kurt Warner's next to him. What do you think Warner's doing when he sees something like
this? You know, on TV, they immediately cut away because they don't give credence or credit or give an opportunity for a streaker, someone that runs out on the field, to get any notoriety out of it. So TV pays no attention to it. But Kevin Harlan takes the other approach. Now, obviously, we don't know the name of the person. They ultimately get nothing personally for it. But he does a great job of describing the apprehension of the person that runs out onto the field. This is not the first time he's done one of these. There's been others where someone has illegally entered the field to play and gotten crushed by security. And he does a good job of that. So he makes it entertaining.
Have you ever gone streaking?
No. I was at the closest I've come is being at the Ole Miss game 20 years ago or whatever it was, 15 years ago.
Okay.
When a streaker ran out onto the field of the Arkansas Ole Miss game from the north end zone. That's about as close as I've gotten. And that was sitting in the stands watching it.
You remember what year that was?
That'd have been about, through 2 or 3, somewhere in there.
I just don't know the punishment of getting killed by 3 or 4 different security guards is worth the fame for, what, a week? And then everyone forgets about it?
State Trooper Bill Carver crushed him at about the 45-yard line.
That, to me,
they had to get John White's overcoat to put on him to take him out of there.
I've never understood the reasoning and rationale to do that, right?
Alcohol.
That sometimes just takes the cake. But I appreciate the approach that Kevin Harlan.
Now, I think in the Arkansas Ole Miss situation, there was a fund of money. A bunch of friends and buddies had put together a pile of money.
Okay.
Said, if you will do this, you get this money, I believe, is the backstory on that. Now, I think most of it went to bail and legal fees and getting him out of hock, more or less, but yeah.
Matt chimes in and says, Ole Miss streaker was homecoming 02. In 2002. Okay. So how much money would it take you to streak during the Rice game opening weekend in Donald W?
There isn't enough, no. Well, I'd say there's not enough, but
there's always
it would require 2 commas. We're going to get into the millions for me.
Guy's wearing a hog hat and
yes,
a picture of
these. He had his private areas covered up with what looked to be like a Razorback head cover or something. It wasn't quite that, but it would have been something along those lines.
I think streaking for me, I couldn't. How much legal fees would you incur?
I don't know what the punishment is, but I would imagine it's quite severe. So, and I think you get banned for maybe life from coming back to games. So
my media credential would get revoked.
Yeah, yes.
I
don't think the fame and notoriety you think you're going to receive is worth the punishment that the judge is going to hand down.
To levy to you?
Yeah.
I think I'd have to make it at least 100K to.
Yeah, and I don't think your buddies are putting. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think your buddies are putting up 100K.
And I'd have to be paid up front, too, because it's one of those things. Oh, we'll pay you. We'll pay you after. Yeah. It's just like.
We'll Venmo you the money.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
Anyone, any Arkansas media member in particular you'd like to see go streaking?
No, not really.
You don't want to answer that question?
No, not really. Smackdown. I guess
I was going to say, you could say, I'm the obvious choice.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah,
I want to see you and Bob Holt line up at the goal line and just go for it. So
just galloping 300-pound man running across the 50-yard line.
What a vivid sense of imagery that we're giving our listeners this morning.
Give me a 30-pack, I'll do it.
If you're going to streak, if you're going to enter illegally into the field of play, why not at the Super Bowl? I mean, hell, go for it.
Well, here's my issue. He didn't even score. He went down at the 1-yard line.
So,
that's the worst thing right here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that had to go to video review whether or not the streaker last night scored. I don't think we call him a streaker. He wasn't really a streaker. He was clothed.
What is the when you?
I mean,
say
he wasn't naked last night running on the field.
Was cold in Tampa, wasn't it? Was it cold?
Well,
certain things shrivel up if you're naked and it's cold.
I don't think it was cold in Tampa, but I mean it was cold here. But he wasn't naked running on the field.
Is it only considered streaking if you're naked?
I think. According to Ray Stevens and his famous song, they call him the Streak. I think you have to be naked.
You have to be.
According to that song.
Right. Yeah. Hong Kong Sui chimes in. He says he wants to see how much it would cost Wally Hall to streak.
You really don't.
I think we could assemble some money from Razorback fans to make that happen somehow, some way. That'd be an interesting question.
There has not been, to my knowledge, anyone run onto the field to play at a football game since 02, right?
Right.
I don't think that's happened.
In Arkansas?
So we've been nearly 20 years.
Hey, just raise the 100K and I'll do it next year.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Parkinson and company will never let me come to a game again as a credentialed media member.
Right. You may not get to go back just for suggesting that you would do it. So
I'd be okay. Yeah. I think that'd be okay. But
nobody else would be okay if we saw you streak across the 50-yard line.
It'd be all the therapy the rest of us
would
need.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. We are getting some funny texts this morning. What media member would you want to streak and an Arkansas Razorback game this season?
We veered off the rails here a little bit. Hey, head to Joe's Grill and Cantina tomorrow night, Arkansas, Kentucky. Guess what we got, boys?
Half-price absentee.
That's right. So, plus, it's Tuesday, so you get Taco Tuesday. So it's kind of a double dip tomorrow
night.
Double whammy for Joe's. So they're going to be busy tomorrow night. Half-price apps and taps for the game. And then you get all the crispy tacos, your choice of beef or chicken tacos on Tuesdays, just $1 a piece. Plus, a lot of their other tacos are on special as well. So be sure and head to Joe's tomorrow night for the game as the Hogs beat down on Big Blue tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can watch that game at Joe's. Get those half-price apps and taps. 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps.
Well, I'll bring in Tom Murphy coming up and ask him the same question we just posed to you.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
Tom, I was heading into this game thinking a couple of scenarios would happen. Maybe the Chiefs blow them out. It's a close Chiefs win. It's a close Bucks win. I did not anticipate the Bucks thoroughly dominating the game like they did last night. What was the wildest thing that you think occurred with the outcome of the Super Bowl?
Well, hey, guys, and it was only two tweets, Tommy, and I disagree with a couple of the PI calls. But I just thought the undisciplined nature of the Chiefs, when you think about the first half, you had the Chris Jones, you know, unsportsmanlike, which to me was just bogus. I mean, he had gotten pushed to start with, and he pushed his back. And it was just a push. It wasn't even, like, to the face. So you had that. Then you had the lining up offsides on the what would have been a field goal, and then the Buccaneers convert that into a touchdown. So just lack of discipline, and you have to give the Buccaneers credit. Todd Bowles and that defensive side of the ball did a phenomenal job of studying what the Chiefs do with all their motions and those backfield circling deals by Hill and Hardman, and they didn't let Hill and Hardman get loose and tear them up. And Travis Kelce dropped a pass in the first half that would have been a third down conversion, dropped it. Another guy dropped a touch, would be touchdown pass, hit him in the helmet. So, and then Hill had one that sometimes he makes that catch. It was the beat ball in the first half. So all those things happened. And the Buccaneers were at home, and you know, they played better. They deserved to win the game.
It was a really fun game last night. I know a lot of people have hot takeaways following the game on a Monday morning, as it is a hot take Monday. And one of the ones I heard that I didn't think was necessarily outlandish is it's going to be difficult now for Patrick Mahomes to catch Tom Brady. It was already going to be difficult to begin with if you had won last night and you had two Super Bowls and Tom had six. But Tom, now he has to get to seven, and the lasting image in everyone's head, if they don't mean the Super Bowl again, is he got thoroughly outplayed. And I wonder from your perspective, does the gap, does the deficit that Patrick Mahomes has to catch up with Brady, does it seem insurmountable to this point?
Well, it does. And here's the reason I think. And the Chiefs franchise is very solid, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them in another Super Bowl or two in the next 5 years. And in the next 6 or 8 years, you know, a couple of three Super Bowls. The Patriots franchise, that model, people are going to try to duplicate it. The Falcons tried to duplicate it with Thomas Dimitroff, and we had a moderate success, but it's really hard to get the whole thing down. Player personnel, how they manage their salary pool, a coach like Belichick, and then a series of assistant coaches that have been as good as they have been. And so I don't think the Chiefs franchise, and you're of the generation, Ty, that likes to compare, this is how many Tom Brady won, and this is how many Ben Roethlisberger won, mm-hmm. This is how many Patrick's going to win. I don't put it on such an individual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see how, Patrick Mahomes to win five more Super Bowls, or would it be six now?
Six now.
That's not going to happen.
Well, that's the point I was making earlier. First of all, you look at all the things that have to happen. Can Patrick Mahomes play enough seasons? You know, Tom Brady's won last night at 43. He's going to play mm-hmm. at 44, maybe at 45, and I don't know that he's won his last Super Bowl. I don't know that he's done at seven. So you got that, number one. You mentioned the franchise, and I brought that up earlier with the Patriots. It's not just the fact that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback any of us have laid eyes on. It's the fact that the organization from the top down, from ownership down, to general manager, to head coach, could find the diamonds in the rough, could figure out how to convince veteran players from around the league that were free agents to come play for less money there because they could possibly win a race. They just had the perfect storm, and I don't know that the Chiefs can recreate that. So your point is perfect. I don't know that any other franchise can put together what the Patriots were able to do in the heart of Brady's run to give Mahomes a chance to ever compete. And we're not talking about doing it for a 2 to 3 to 4 year period. Tom, you got to do that for, honestly, a 15-year period.
You do. And I don't know if guys of Patrick Mahomes' generation, a lot of those guys, you know, take a Megatron, for instance, even though he's kind of a half generation, he played 9 years or whatever, and he was phenomenal. But, okay, I've had enough. He made a ton of money. There's going to be more guys who do that kind of thing, and I'm not saying that's what Patrick Mahomes will do, but when you compare his talent, though, the Buccaneers just had a great game plan. And think of how many passes they had where basically as soon as Mahomes got the snap, there was pressure on him, and he did some of those circular scrambles to try to keep the play alive, and the Bucs just were all over it. There was a lot of penalties called for holding on the Chiefs secondary and other type penalties, and there weren't very many called against the Buccaneers.
Yeah. So when you compare Tom Brady, and I think that the debate is over whether or not he's the greatest quarterback of all time or maybe the greatest football player of all time. But now the debate or the comparison or the conversation has already turned. Is he the greatest professional athlete of all time, and the comparisons to him and Jordan, him and Bill Russell. Where does he stack up in your opinion when it comes to, You know, Bill Russell with 10, Michael Jordan with 6. When you go down this list of, to me, it's, if you want to talk about the greatest, and maybe I'm discounting Bill Russell because it was before my time, but when you look at just Jordan and Brady, that's an interesting conversation to me.
No question. And certainly in the Mount Rushmore of all-time sports, Tom Brady, I think, would be up there for the football. And it's not like I dislike or like Tom Brady. I'm just kind of neutral.
But when you were watching Joe Montana in his prime, you never thought you'd say that somebody would take Montana off of the Mount Rushmore as the football representative, would you?
Yeah. You never thought that happened.
Yeah.
And Brady has certainly done that. And, you know, mm-hmm. think about it. The running component isn't there. I mean, he scrambled a few times when the defense is all out in protection and coverage. And he's gotten around an edge, and he scrambled for a first down. But that component is nothing like Patrick Mahomes can do, and some of the younger, you know, Josh Allen can do that. So he's done it with basically being a pocket quarterback. And yep, I'm not going to argue the point. I think he's the greatest quarterback that the NFL has ever had.
Tom Murphy with us here on the Morning Rush. Tom, stepping outside of the Super Bowl we watched last night, I want to get your take on Julius Coates entering the transfer portal. Any indication that this was going to happen? Just kind of want your opinion on that.
Well, it's been a weird year for him. And, you know, I just think that there was some emotional issues later on in the season that, you know, impacted him. And I wouldn't say it was a great surprise. You know, you hate to lose a talent like that, and you'd like to see Jermaine Ashley have the chance to develop a guy like him for another year. But when you look at prototype DNs, I mean, he can fit that bill, 6'5", 270, whatever his height and weight were. He looked like a DN, and Arkansas needs to recruit certainly more of his body type. But, you know, sometimes JUCO dudes are phenomenal pickups, and sometimes they're hit and miss, mm-hmm. and then sometimes they're bust, and I would put him in the middle category. He had a couple of plays and a couple of games where you're like, whoa, you know, this could be an impact DN, and then other games where he did something off the field academically, and he doesn't make the trip for you to Mississippi State. So that's the gamble on JUCO talent.
Tom, I know that we got a chance to talk with Muss this past weekend, and I know he's itching to play Kentucky. Heading into this game tomorrow night, Tommy and I were discussing this a little earlier, and we're going to talk about it more in depth tomorrow. How big of a win would it actually be if they defeated the Wildcats in Lexington? What's your sense from the fan base and your sense from this basketball team, what that win would mean to this program right now?
Well, you have to put it all in context. Winning at Rupp Arena is always a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But beating this Kentucky team, now it's happened now a few times, right? When you almost replace your entire roster year by year like Kentucky, every once in a while, I guess, you can come up with a dud. And I just think that when you listen to people talk about them, Brandon Boston, good point guard, but he's not as fast as a DeAndre Fox and some of the other point guard, and maybe not as great of a leader, and they're just a poor shooting team right now.
Yeah,
41.6%, the lowest field goal percentage in the SEC. So even though they're skilled and they're athletic, pure shooters, they're lacking in that. And if you ask me, Arkansas on the balance, is it better for them to have had this long time off for healing, or will there be a rust component? And I think it weighs heavier on that it's going to benefit them that they had the time off for Moses Moody's ankle, for Justice Smith's ankle, for Desi Sills, and Jalen Williams to be healthier for this game, and that they can knock the rust off a little bit better. Kentucky's going to be raring to go, though. I mean, they blew a nice lead against Tennessee the other day, and the pressure is mounting. You know what it's like inside that program when you start losing,
mm-hmm.
and they expect you to win all the time.
Yeah.
So it still would be a very, very nice win. Arkansas needs another good road win. They need to mount some quadrant one wins.
Well, let me give you another good reason. Arkansas is 29th in the net rankings that were through February 7th. I had to scroll mm-hmm. a ways to find Kentucky. You know where they're ranked? 80th. So, yeah. I mean, let's just forget about the Arkansas, Kentucky, Rupp Arena winning there, what all that matters. When you're 29, you can't lose to number 80. And that's the reality of this matchup when you're playing a 5-12 Kentucky team. They're 80th in net rankings, Tom, just from the metric standpoint. You can't afford to lose this ball game wherever it's played.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good loss, but we all know that Kentucky's capable of rising up. I mean, they've already beat Florida this year. So,
but they're 80th right now, you know.
They're 80th right now. You could lose this game and still make the tournament if you're Arkansas, but it's going to knock your net down.
Sure.
So I just think that the combination of rust and kind of the state that Kentucky's in, Arkansas has got to get in there and rebound with those guys. And if they do that, I mean, you look at Arkansas, Texas A&M women yesterday, rebounding to me was the biggest single factor in that loss. A&M got so many second chance points. So limit that for Kentucky, get on the boards, and I think the Razorbacks will have a chance to play.
Yeah, and just getting back in the rhythm. You know, Arkansas has been pretty fortunate not to miss a lot of games. They had that Tulsa game. They rescheduled another opponent. Basketball is a game of routine and rhythm. And just getting back into that, you play on Tuesday, Wednesday, then you play on Saturday, and you turn around and you do it all over again. It gets you out of your rhythm. But I do like the idea of Eric Musselman and this staff having a few extra days to get ready for a team like Kentucky. And then also, I think above everything else, this team probably needed an extra, you know, just a break here to get some guys healthy. This team's beat up.
No question about it. I think so. And hey, make Kentucky take jump shots. If you can make them take, you know, 50-60% of their shots from 12 and 14 feet and beyond, I think you can beat them.
Tom, before we let you go, we kicked this around a little earlier. What Arkansas media member would you want to see streak across the field?
This
come
is a
rise?
Bad question, Tom. Bad question.
Co-worker Bob Hull. Who would it be, Tom?
That's a totally you question.
Yeah.
How about I don't want to see
this goes along
Arkansas
with the streaker last night. The guy that ran on the field, he wasn't truly a streaker at the Super Bowl last night.
I must have stood up and missed that one, just like I missed the touchdown. Hey, when New England kicked the field goal, I got up. I wasn't happy. I got up and went to the bathroom, and then I had my phone, and I saw people were tweeting, like, another penalty. The dude lined up off sides on a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I missed that, and I missed the person on the field, and I don't want to see any Arkansas media members running across the field.
That's a great answer.
Glad we got that question answered. Tom, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk more on Thursday, okay?
All right, sounds good. See y'all.
Thanks.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
By the way, JT in Hot Springs says ESPN's BPI is giving Arkansas a 61% chance to win in Lexington tomorrow night.
So, all right, so maybe Arkansas is favored by a point or two. I don't know. I'm a terrible odds man. I'm no Danny Sheridan here, but I just got to believe when that line comes out, just Big Blues always seems to be favored against Arkansas when they're playing there. So
6 o'clock, ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 5:30. All right, so mine is going to be a best and the worst combined. You can start those since mine's going to be a little longer.
You only start with best or worst?
Mine's going to be both. So let me start with do your both.
Best of the weekend, I think, was just the Super Bowl. And listen, I know we got a lot of Chiefs fans, and I'm typically a Chiefs fan because I got a lot of friends that are. I've been to some Chiefs games. I enjoy the Chiefs. I want the Chiefs to win. But just watching Tom Brady, I mean, I know it's hard for anyone that has been a lifelong Chiefs fan to come at it from the standpoint of watching greatness and appreciating what they saw last night. But as a sports fan, that was the best of the weekend. Was just really, you know, watching the game with my son last night, who's 11. He's starting to understand football, wanting to watch games with dad. We go to some basketball games now. He's, trying to explain to him what Tom Brady's about, why this game was special.
Yeah.
You know, those are all things that, I don't know if he'll look back like I did when watching Montana with my dad.
Because Dylan's not as big of a sports guy, right?
No, but he's getting to that age where now it's interesting. Now he's thinking about, hey, do I want to play football in seventh grade?
Yeah.
You know, do I want to maybe, maybe I want to go to the boys club and play football next year? He's getting a little more interested in it. And that to me was just being able to watch the game with him and explain what Tom Brady is all about.
Because
he has no perspective on, hey, this guy's played in 10 Super Bowls. And when you say that, he doesn't even know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, and why that's a big deal. Why that he'll never probably see that again. And unless we're sitting here a year from now watching the 11th one, you know, that was pretty special last night. So I really enjoyed being able to watch and do that last night. So that was probably my best of the weekend. And just watching greatness. I mean, that's why we watch sports, is to see greatness.
Father-son sporting events or watching games together, very, very underrated. Yeah. And I know I cherish a lot of the moments I had with my dad, whether it's going to games in Bud Walton, Donald W., War Memorial Stadium, NCAA tournament events. He was very gracious in taking my brother Joe and I along, and we always had a good time with him.
Yeah,
watching the games in general.
We were just on the couch watching it. But, we'll never see another quarterback playing in ten Super Bowls again. I don't care how long we live. I never thought I'd see someone surpass Montana. I can't imagine someone surpassing Brady. Just like I can't imagine another college football coach surpassing Nick Saban right now. Can't imagine.
It's pretty incredible. So mine is I would say a trend towards best. I don't know. I guess there's some worse I could take out of this. I get a text on Saturday, a little after lunch, and it's from my buddy Lawson, who lives in Nashville. And he texts me, he goes, "You're going to hate me." And I was like, I'm trying to think.
Really,
I
already
like,
knew.
I was like, what did he do? And it instantly clicked. He's visiting his brother, Merritt, in Auburn, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, I have an idea where this is going. And I text him immediately after. That's like, "You got a picture with Madison, didn't you? You got to meet her." He's like, "Yeah." And I just said, I'm sitting there.
Please tell me he told the whole story about how you're obsessed.
He told apparently what I, because I called him yesterday because I wanted to get more of a kind of a grasp on the conversation. She's actually, what he said is, so her sister is a senior at Auburn. Merritt's a freshman, his little brother. And he said that the family, and he met their mom too. She said they're really nice. She was like asking him about his time at Auburn. Lawson went to Arkansas with me. He's a year younger than me. But he told the catfish prank calling story to her. He was like, he was like, "I have to tell you this story about my friend." And he went on to say, and she said, he said, and I quote, "She felt sad and said that was mean." Is what he told me.
Oh, I felt bad
said.
For you that day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found
that. So she has a heart then.
She does have a heart. And Lawson said she's deciding between moving to Dallas or Nashville. And he lives in Nashville currently. He suggested to move to Nashville.
He didn't suggest she call into the show and have a conversation with you on the air.
That was not said. If that happens, I'm okay with that 100%. That was not said. He was just happy because he's with his brother and his brother there in the concession line. And his brother is like, "I think that's Madison Pruitt." And Lawson's like, "Let's not ask her to get a picture." He's just trying to chill. And Merritt, who's a freshman at Auburn, is like, "No, let's ask her." And apparently she was really nice, which is cool because I know some celebrities, when they get that famous, they get a big head.
Yeah.
From what the conversation that he had with both his mom, his sister, and Madison, said she was really nice. But he did find that very entertaining. He made sure to text me immediately after it happened. So,
was he doing it to help you or just to rub it in your face?
No, he was just being nice about it. If he would have, there definitely would have been a way that he could have been over the top and been mean about it. But it was kind of funny because, again, as soon as he said, "You're going to hate me," and I was like, why would I? And then immediately my mind snapped. He's at Auburn right now.
Yeah.
I guarantee you who he just met. Moments later, he posted the picture, which I thought was pretty good.
He could have had a video or something he sent to you. Her blowing you a kiss or something.
FaceTime, something. Taking a Snapchat. Come on, Lawson.
You couldn't have got the words out.
I could, yeah.
No.
Something.
No. No.
Something would have, yeah.
You'd have lost. I mean, you could barely function this morning after eating too many sliders
I'm
and
tired.
Wings.
Tired. I'm tired. Listen.
Yeah, you'd have never made it to
like Tom Brady. I always rise to the occasion.
No.
I have risen to the occasion.
Not a chance.
Yeah, listen, there's still a 1% chance that she somehow calls into the program?
No, because Arns is in charge of that, so there's like no chance.
Yeah. So that was my best and worst. It's not really a worst, but it's definitely best of the weekend.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.